ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 198 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Walquist, and joining me this week is the other host of the show. His name is...
I'm Jesse, inventive, stern, reserved, sensitive, easygoing Wilson.
Okay, you gotta explain this one.
Yeah, I did this thing, it's like 5.com,
uh-huh.
And it analyzes your personality based off of your Facebook posts.
Ooh.
So I got 87% in openness,
mm-hmm.
but only 24% in agreeableness. I think that's a bad combination.
Well, you do talk a lot about poop.
That's disagreeable?
I don't know if it's the number one thing people want to read on their timelines.
Yeah, it's the number two thing that people want to read about.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, this is interesting. I should do this.
Yeah, it's labs.5.com. I guess I could send you a link.
It's okay. I'm sure it'll be all over my Facebook feed in like 2 days.
Probably.
Along with which Disney princess am I?
It's Jasmine.
What's the inventive part? How did that come up?
I don't know. It just tells you what you are.
I did like the Bruin post earlier that you posted.
Oh, yeah. I got some likes on that one.
That was a likable post.
Yeah. It was a picture of me trying to get a siphon going on a barrel. So it's a big old barrel with a tube coming out of it, and me with my face sucking on the tube. That's pretty cool.
I feel like that could be a great Photoshop battles picture.
Oh, no.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, God, I'm sorry. I was thinking like a, you know, like zombie apocalypse siphoning gasoline from a car.
Right, yeah. But I feel like it would go in a bad way.
Yeah, it would devolve pretty quickly. Okay, anyway. How was your week, buddy?
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm staring down the barrel of like 4 days that I really don't want to experience.
Mm.
And I know they're coming up, mm-hmm. and it's just going to be brutal.
Okay. Well, we'll try to keep it light tonight for you then.
Okay.
No existential conversations like we had last week. Unless of course you want to talk about stuff like that. But yeah, you got Father's Day Fest coming up for the weekend.
Yeah, I just sent you that link, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Because you do want to try this live. I have Father's Day Fest, which is Washington State's biggest beer festival,
yeah.
And I'm flying solo for much of it.
Wow.
So it's going to be a long weekend, but I'm going to just bank like 30 hours over the course of the weekend, so that'll be nice to have money.
Yeah, and hopefully I can come out and see you. What are you pouring for that?
We have styles. Our Glass Kisser, which is the Imperial IPA, and then the Yoda's Green Tea Gold, and then we're doing our regular Hop Diggity and Scotch.
Yoda's Green Tea Gold?
Yeah. It's our gold ale with green tea.
Nice. Well, I'm excited. Hopefully I can make it up there. My dad's actually in town this weekend, so...
There you go.
I'm hoping to bring out the fan. Yeah. Yeah. I had a great week, too. Why don't we get to the... What are you drinking this week?
Speaking of
beers.
Yeah. I'm drinking beer from work.
Mm-hmm.
I made a little special blend of the aforementioned Glass Kisser Imperial and the standard gold, not the green tea gold, and I call it the Golden Lass.
Mm. Nicely done. It's a golden ale, so it's kind of malty-ish, but with...
It's just like nice and light and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Imperial IPA makes it really hoppy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then I'm drinking the Seagrun India Pale Ale from Odin. This is like becoming one of my favorite IPAs because it's so different. It's not like your typical run-of-the-mill Seattle IPAs. It's like it's hoppy, but it's got a nice herbal hoppy flavor as opposed to just like a kick in the mouth bitter hop.
Yeah, overload. I remember you gave me a bottle of that once.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's a little oniony for my.
Oh, that's actually a good way to put it. It's kind of oniony in that herbal-y way.
Right.
It's got a little bit of spice to it.
Yeah, it's spicy, oniony.
All right, well, let's get to some listener feedback this week. We got quite a bit, starting off with a couple of voicemails. First one comes to us from the 206, and here it is.
Seattle Colin. First of all, I wanted to call and wish you guys a preemptive happy 200th episode. And also to thank you guys for both opening the door in my house for craft beer. I started homebrewing in January and have gone from doing small extracts brewing in my kitchen all the way to doing all grain brewing in my garage in the span of 6 months because I've dug it so much. And so thanks, guys, for, you know, just trying out new beers every week or trying to anyway and really, really pushing the idea of craft beer or something to enjoy, as well as board games. In the last, I would say, year, I've bought more board games than I have in the preceding, you know, couple decades of my life or so. So thanks, guys. I had a comment based upon a couple episodes ago, a couple podcasts ago, and that was when you were mentioning lagers and how people kind of don't like lagers and what are some things you can try to get a taste of lagers if you're not quite used to that. And I think, Eric, you mentioned to try Dunkelweizen. And I think that you meant Dunkels. Dunkels are a type of dark lager, whereas Dunkelweizens are a dark wheat beer. Dunkelweizens are a little more cloudy, and they have the, you know, the banana and clove flavors and aromas of Hefeweizen. But yeah, they also have a sometimes chocolatey or smoky taste of the dark beers. But in looking that up, you got me to go down to the store and pick up one of my favorite dark lagers or Schwarz beers, which is the Session Black Lager from Full Sail. And I wonder if you guys had tried that before, what your thoughts were on it, because that is really, it's a go-to beer for me if I've got a weekend where I don't want to drink something that's too pale, but at the same time, I want a little more flavor to it. That's it. So be arrogant and get off my back.
Get off my back, Mystery Seattle Man.
Yeah, didn't get your name. I didn't think we had fans in Seattle.
I think that this might be Joe. It could be Joe. Joe is a guy who I met at the Bald Move meetup in Seattle last year. And it sounds like it could be him. But if it's not, we'll just call you Joe because it's like John Doe mixed together from Seattle. So yeah, I guess I was totally wrong. Dunkels, not Dunkelweizen. I just like to put Weizen on.
How could you ever mix that up?
I don't know. I just like to put Weizen on the end of every German word. It just makes it sound more German. Oktoberfest Weizen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Blitzkrieg Weizen.
Exactly. but we're happy to have inspired you on both the beer and board game front. That's very cool. Session Black Lager, this is something that you really like, don't you?
Yeah, I used to jam out on that one a lot.
Now, I'm wondering, because is Session Fest the dark lager?
No, they have Session Black, and then they have Session Fest.
You're right. Session is red, Session Black is blue, and Session Fest is green.
Yeah, it's kind of like a dark gray.
Yeah. Well, dudes, everything that Full Sail does is like my favorite thing in the world. And I'm hoping that I can make it to Hood River this summer to make my pilgrimage to Full Sail.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be my jam. Okay, let's move on to our next one. This comes to us from a familiar voice from the East Coast. Here it is.
Hey guys, it's Michael McBride from Virginia here again, and I just recently watched the new Mortal Kombat X trailer, and I don't know if you guys like Mortal Kombat as much as I do, so I'm just going to ask you a question that I thought that it could probably get some creativeness, like my man cave idea did last week, but what would your fatalities be if you were a fighter of Mortal Kombat? Alright guys, stay arrogant, get off my back.
Mortal Kombat, dude. Did you play Mortal Kombat at all?
Yeah, I played a lot of Mortal Kombat 2 when I was a kid on the Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo. Yeah, I wanted Mortal Kombat because my first console was the Game Boy Original, Rick. And I really wanted to get Mortal Kombat. Like, that was the game everybody was playing. Everybody's playing Mortal Kombat on the playground. I knew that I liked Sub-Zero, but I had never played the game before. But my mom, I was like, I want Mortal Kombat. And my mom goes to me, she says, do you know what mortal means? Mortal means death. And then that was like the end of the conversation.
What does combat with a K mean, though?
Who knows?
Yeah, it's a mystery.
She didn't even need to get that far. She heard mortal and she was over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a good move. This is a good question here. Like, what would your finishing move be?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never killed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I've almost died from appendicitis, so maybe I'd be like, appendicitis!
Yeah,
and then the person would be like, oh, my side, and fall over.
I almost died today.
Oh, yeah? Driving in Seattle?
It was, I was trying to get home, and my bus was, like, delayed by, like, 45 minutes, so I took the light rail into downtown, and mm-hmm. so I get to the light rail station, and they have a place where you literally have to cross the tracks. And
Why was your bus delayed for 45 minutes?
I have no idea. Traffic is insane today in Seattle. I had to take three different modes of public transportation to get home. light rail to the 72 Express to the 44. But anyway, so I get to the light rail thing, and you have to like cross the light rail track. I can see my light rail train coming, so I'm like, okay, I gotta. It's coming too quickly. Like there was a moment there where I was like, okay, I can either run across and be a little too close, or I could wait for this thing to pass me and then run to catch up with it. So I make the latter decision to let it pass, and right as I do that, I take a look to my left, and I see the other train, like, run past me. Like, if I had made the dumb decision to try to beat the train, I would have just gotten taken out by the other train.
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't really register until I literally got on the train, and I was like, wow. That would have been a bad decision. So the moral of the story here is always wait for the trains, guys.
Yeah.
Don't ever try to beat the trains. But that would be my finishing move. I would do a little Taijiquan Do. I'd say, hey, doesn't that guy look like Harrison Ford? And point to a dude. The other guy would turn his head and then get hit by a train.
No, that's not Taijiquan Do then.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's some sort of evil corruption.
It is. It's not even Taijiquan Do.
No.
Thanks, Michael. And then we got one more voicemail. This one comes to us from Philly. Here it is.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. I want to talk about this self-driving cars topic that you had the other day. How does the car's AI handle unexpected events? Of course, with computers, we have packet collision. But how does that work for cars? So here's an interesting scenario. Your Google car is driving down the road. You're the only person in the car. A child runs out onto the road from nowhere. They just jump out chasing a soccer ball. The sensors weren't able to see this kid. The AI quickly assesses the situation. If you veer into the left lane, you'll impact a car with four passengers for five total potential casualties. If you stay straight, you'll kill the boy and injure yourself, two potential casualties. The AI determines the best potential outcome is to take a hard left and drive your car off the cliff with only one potential casualty. I'm not sure I want to be in that self-driving car. And that's one of the aspects that's a little scary for me. And you know, this isn't going to happen all at once. We won't just naturally flip a switch and everyone goes self-driving. There's going to be a transition period where the AI will have to account for both self-driving and manually driven vehicles. So let's take a different accident scenario. Your self-driving car comes upon a few motorcycles who have drifted over onto your side of the yellow line. The AI recognizes that one biker has a helmet and another does not. It opts to hit the cyclist with the helmet because they have a higher probability of surviving the impact. If I'm a biker and I knew that this is how the AI behaves, I would certainly not be wearing a helmet, and we don't want to be demotivating safety either. So, at any rate, I'm looking forward to living in a generation where we witness man's creation of our own demise with you guys. Stay arrogant. Get off my back.
I think that JR's kind of missing the point of the self-driving car here.
I don't think it's going to be like the type of programming where it's like, well, that guy has cancer, so I'm just going to hit him instead because he only has 6 months to live anyway.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Not to mention, these cars have, like, 300 feet of infrared sensors in every direction. So yeah. the idea of them not being able to track the kid running into the street invisibly, as opposed to you trying to catch the kid in the street with your eyeballs.
Well, they could have come out from behind something.
No, but if it's some kind of, like, you know, radar-esque technology, he'd be able to track it. The car would be able to track the movement, presumably, through objects.
I like it.
I like it too.
Yeah, I mean, and also, what's the alternative? We have, like, Tracy mm-hmm. Morgan scenario.
Exactly.
Which is reality.
I mean, the other idea is that this is very morbid, but I'm sorry, but, like, you know, you're approaching two motorcyclists, one's wearing a helmet, one isn't, it can automatically check the organ donor directory, and then if there's a need, then it hits the one that doesn't have the helmet.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that the logic that gets you from self-driving car to people not wearing motorcycle helmets.
Yeah, it's become a Maximum Overdrive kind of situation.
I suppose. I just love, too, the idea that these are runaway machines that have a cold conscience
mm-hmm.
that can't be reprogrammed at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, also the idea that a car chooses who to hit is a little ridiculous.
I like it.
But yeah, I still welcome our self-driving overlords.
Mm-hmm.
Couple more things here, a couple of emails. First one from Malcolm Taylor says, hope you guys are having a good week so far. It sounds like you may have forgotten my no more cable email. That or your dog ate it. No worries. Just sending a little reminder. So yeah, Malcolm's getting rid of cable. He was asking me for advice. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of advice for him because I got back cable.
Right. Now you got, like, HBO and everything.
Well, this is what happened. So my cable company decided they were going to... I was only paying for internet. They kept raising my internet rates higher and higher and higher, and there's nothing I could do about it. I called and tried to negotiate. They're like, no, we don't have anything for you. And then they give me an offer that says, well, you can actually pay $5 less than you're paying right now. It's an unlimited contract, so it will never run out, and you'll get your... internet plus HBO. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I have my local cable channels, HBO and internet.
They got ya.
They got me, man. But I'll tell you what, man, I'm freaking so happy with HBO. HBO is my drug.
Just I bet.
I've literally just taken that HDMI cable, plugged it right into my main artery, and I'm just mainlining it.
Are you watching Game of Thrones?
I'm not watching Game of Thrones yet.
Mm.
I'll talk about what I'm watching a little later in the show, but the comedies alone are a great way to kill time. I mean, I've been watching Veep, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Eastbound and Down, Girls. I've been watching it all. I'm really an HBO fanatic at this. It's kind of the only TV I watch at this point.
I watch a lot of, like, Peppa Pig,
mm-hmm.
Blue's Clues,
got it.
Gabba Gabba.
They do have the Family series. I haven't cracked into those yet.
HBO Family?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. They've also got the late night. I haven't cracked into that one either, but
ooh.
We shall see. what else we got here? James sent us a Reddit link to a stand-up comedian talking about Friend Zone. I will not read his joke because reciting stand-up comedians' jokes never really comes across well, but check him out. His name's Tim Ross. He's at Tim Ross Comedy, and he's got a great Friend Zone joke. And then finally we got Dennis Kleinbeck saying, hey guys, just wanted to ask you, what should we do about this idea of a wager on the World Cup that is standing in the room like an elephant not paying rent? What should the wager be on, and what is the actual wager? Also, I could only watch the first couple minutes of your live stream due to this damn time shift, but those minutes were hilarious. Jim playing around with the effects of Google Hangout while Jesse's rocking the Dragonborn helmet. Comedy gold. Have a nice week, and eager to hear about your wager ideas. So this comes from Dennis Kleinbeck in Germany. Germany and the U.S. are in the same bracket in the World Cup. They're in the same group, which means they will definitely be playing each other in the first round. And I don't know. I don't know what the wager should be, but it's coming up too soon to wait till next show.
A wager between us and Dennis?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Germany is probably going to win, right?
Yeah, they're definitely favored. I think they're number two in the world.
Okay, then, like, it can't be, like, too crazy of a wager.
Right.
They, like, the U.S. soccer team has, like, all our fifth and sixth string athletes.
That's not true.
It is. It's like the fifth sport in America.
Oh, you mean best. For athletes? Oh, I see what you mean. From an athletic perspective.
Yeah.
I see.
Like, NFL, baseball, mm-hmm. basketball, and hockey all sucking up athletes.
And actually, like, NASCAR as well.
Yes.
Lots of potential goalies in NASCAR.
You got, like, people going to golf and stuff.
Yeah, golf. Golf is more. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot. You're left with some pretty slim pickings when it comes to Americans who choose athletics as a career.
Yeah, I don't know. This is tough because obviously you can't really mail anything to Germany. I would ask for German beer, but I feel like customs would clamp down on that, and then you're going to get on a no-fly list immediately. So, God, I don't know. Maybe something will come up during the show. We'll just table this until the show progresses. I mean, we've already named an episode after him.
Mm.
There's not much else we could do for you, Dennis, frankly.
If the Germans win, we have to do an entire segment in German accents.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I can't wait to hear yours.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty... Oh, God, it's already devolved.
I don't think the Germans roll their R's.
Pretty good.
I don't think they do that.
It's a pretty good show. That's some country. All right, Jesse, let's do a roll-off. If you want to get in touch with us, guys, personalarguments@gmail.com or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. We're going to do our little tiny mat roll-off, roll a 20-sided dice, see who gets to talk first on the podcast this week. Here we go.
Oh, no!
Yep.
Critical failure.
You rolled a 1 again?
I did.
I feel like you did this a little bit ago.
I don't know, man.
You need a new die. I rolled a 17.
Wow.
Too bad you couldn't add your grapple modifier to that.
Plus 12, or whatever it was.
Yeah, because like your strength was plus 5, right?
Plus 6.
Oh, Jesus.
Plus base attack bonus.
Yeah, that's the null, man. It gets like plus 2 to strength and minus 2 to charisma. Not really a trade-off, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's some crazy monster races. Like the Satyr.
Mm-hmm.
The Satyr is the craziest monster race ever. It gets like, it gets plus 2 to, like, Dex, Constitution, Intelligence, Wisdom, Charisma.
Hmm.
It's a level adjustment of 2. So, like, instead of being level 3 or level 1, but you get 4 levels of Fey, which are D8, like, you get 1d8 for each of those. Uh-huh. So you actually, like, start 2 levels higher for being a Satyr. And then it's got, like, great class skills, and you get, like, 8 plus your intelligence modifier of skill points, like, times 4. So, anyway, you just get, like, a ton of... It's ridiculous. And they can play the pan... Like, the pan pipes.
Yeah, so this
and, like,
is the guy...
charm people unlimited amount of times per day. And they have, so they have damage reduction of 5, except to Cold Iron. It's like, so unless you roll up against someone who has Cold Iron, everything is 5 damage less to you. It's insane.
So, and this is the guy with the goat legs?
Yeah, and they get like plus 4 to natural armor bonus. And like these, like alertness feat, and you get feats for your fey levels. It's insane.
Well, I'm going to propose that Levi DMs a one-off campaign called Satyr, in which we all attend a Satyr as
Satyrs.
There you go. It'll be great. All right. Anyway, I won. So this week I'm going to kick it off by talking about video games.
Here we go.
Okay, Jesse, so this week we're getting a ton of video game news because E3 is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that you and I need to sift through all this bullshit because, you know, it's video game news overload.
Yeah, I was watching some of the, like, Polygon 5-minute breakdowns.
Yeah.
So, that was cool.
It's cool, man. And they're bringing it this year. Some people are bringing it. But I feel like, Jesse, you have such a great bullshit button. Like, you are the Satyr of bullshit buttons. And so...
My Facebook personality profile said that I have an 89% on bullshit radar.
Yeah, exactly.
It might be a little over-calibrated. Maybe a little.
So I want to talk to you and see what you are actually excited about. Because, you know, we're drinking from the fire hose here. There is a lot to cover for E3. And I need to know whether we should be excited about this stuff or not.
Okay.
So I guess we'll start it off with, God, Nintendo, man. Nintendo decided they were just going to get spaghetti and start chucking it at the wall here.
So I missed the Nintendo stuff. That happened today, right?
I've
been, like, offline today.
Okay.
Completely.
Nintendo has decided they are going to release everything. So I'll run through some of this stuff, see what you're excited about, what you're not excited about. So we know about Super Smash Brothers, but they're actually adding a few peripherals to Super Smash Brothers. The first one is what they're calling Amiibas or Amiibos.
Is that like me as in like your little dude that you make?
It's Amiibos, I believe. They're
Amiibos. It's got to be Amiibas.
They're Amiibos.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. They're partnering with Bose headphones. No, but actually what they're doing is they're making little figurines for your Smash Brothers. They got Mario. They got, everybody else. You know, all those other Nintendo folks. The Ninja Turtles? No. They got Mario. Sorry. Why can't I remember this? It's the game with the robot lady.
Samus?
Yes, Samus. They have Samus and
Samus
Mario.
Samus came up last episode of this podcast.
I understand that. I'm trying to riff here off the top of my head. Okay, no, they got Mario, they got Samus, they got Donkey Kong, they got Link, they got the dude from Animal Crossing, they have the yoga lady from Wii Fit. And so you'll be able to like attach these guys to your Wii U somehow, and then as you play, it'll download information of those guys. You take those guys to your friend's house, and then it'll basically put your persona into your friend's Wii U.
Huh.
It's basically like a really cool thumb drive with some data on it, metadata.
Right.
Any
excitement? So this is like their answer to the internet, or just download it onto this and walk around with it? In actual real ass space?
Yes, this is the answer to the internet.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This is like how in like South Africa they found out it was faster to put a thumb drive on a carrier pigeon and send it to the next town instead of actually trying to send it over their internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like this is just another thing to lose. This just puts more weight on your little figurine when you lose it. When your mom throws out your box of stuff 30 years from now.
Right. Like, when you're at summer camp.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, anyway.
Mom, that was my thumb drive thing with Samus. You're too old for these toys.
It's not a toy, it's a data device. It speaks to the Wii U, and the Wii U speaks back to it. Ugh. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so I'm not too excited about this. The other peripheral that they announced with Smash Brothers, that's compatible with Smash Brothers, also presumably compatible with other games, is a GameCube controller interface thing. So they're going to be releasing a GameCube controller adapter that you can plug into your Wii U and then plug GameCube controllers into it.
Awesome.
I think that's awesome, because the GameCube is really the pinnacle of Smash Brothers, in my opinion. Because of the controller,
like, yeah. That controller Super was Smash made Bros. For Brawl.
Yeah, that controller like made that game.
Yeah, it also kind of broke the game when people broke the controllers,
mm-hmm.
because those things weren't exactly NES controllers original terms of sturdiness.
Well, good news here: these controllers are only $20 a piece.
And,
or you can
for get, a game for a 10-year-old controller.
Or you can go to your local Goodwill and pick up any number of them that are in a bin for 50 cents a piece. Like
it's sticky.
So if you want,
they're gonna be broken.
But if you want a brand new controller, it's $20. You can get the Smash Bros. Signature controller with the logo on it for $30. But and then the peripheral, I think, is the interface that allows you to use them is $20. But yeah, if you have GameCube controllers laying around, then you can just plug them in. So.
Right.
And yeah, I love this because, yeah, Smash Brothers needs a GameCube controller. I feel like the buttons are so weird on those things that they're only useful for Super Smash Brothers.
I've never played on the Wii U.
Mm.
Does it have, like, the normal Wii sticks?
I have not played. Oh, the Wii U. It has, so you can play with either Wii controllers or you can play with the Wii peripheral thing that has a screen on it and it has thumbsticks.
Like, oh right, yeah, because they have that thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like
that's
going to
be too cumbersome for Smash Bros.
I think that the Smash Bros. Controller. I mean, I just think they perfected it, so they want to bring that back. I like it.
That's fine, but this isn't like a big deal.
Okay. A few more Nintendo things to see if you're excited about. First of all, Yarn Yoshi. It's Yoshi made out of yarn.
Oh yeah, they did that with Kirby.
They did. There's also a new Kirby game.
Where he's made out of Yoshis.
Exactly. There's going to be a new Toad game based off of Super Mario 3D World.
It's going to be fun.
A little bit of a... It seems like a puzzle level game type of deal. It's like Captain Toad's Treasure Hunt or something. You've got Donkey Kong versus Mario, which is a straight up puzzle game that's kind of like Lemmings from what I can account. Any excitement there?
Oh, I never played Lemmings.
It's basically like they're going to move in perpetual motion. You got to adjust the environment to make them move how you want them to.
Yeah, that could be fun.
They're going to be Super Smash Brothers on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's happening. You're going to have a few more heavy hitters here. Brand new Zelda game.
Yeah.
Brand new from the ground up Zelda game.
Pretty cool.
You're going to get a brand new Star Fox game.
Uh-huh.
And there was one more. Super Mario Maker, which is a Mario Brothers level editor, so you can make your own Mario levels.
That has potential.
That has super potential.
That could be a lot of fun. No, if money weren't an option, I would totally buy a Wii U.
Me too.
I just love these. I love Zelda and Mario and Smash Brothers. I love all these things.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Mario Kart 8 has gotten rave reviews, and like, right. Aaron's been playing it, and I'm super jealous. Like, Mario Kart is one of my favorite games of all time.
Well, yeah, like four months ago, you and I were like, "Is Wii U like is that the same thing as what is it like?"
Yeah.
But what they needed to do was to do what Mario or what Nintendo does, mm-hmm. and get these huge established franchises that everyone goes crazy for and get them on the Wii U and make people want to buy it, and that's what they did. I think they executed it well.
Yeah, and like these games are going to be rolling out over basically the next 2 years, so I think that they're bringing the thunder, and hopefully this can excite some companies to build for the Wii U. I think it's a cool platform. I love having the screen in the controller. There's a lot of cool things you could be able to do with that.
Yeah.
The Pokemon MMO is still unannounced, though.
Oh. Don't need it.
A couple other things here from... this is what I wanted to bring up, is that Mario Kart came out, right? So I was like, okay, maybe I'll take a look, because Mario Kart seems really cool, and I feel like I would play the hell out of that game. The Mario Kart bundle for the Wii U is $329.
It's a pretty good price point.
You can buy an Xbox One for $399. And I feel like there are a lot more games that I want to play on the Xbox One than there are on the Wii U. And that's the problem. I mean,
there's only like two games I really want to play on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like, just Halo and Madden, which is like all I have ever played.
Well, Titanfall, I mean, I feel like that's kind of something.
I feel like Titanfall has maybe come and gone already.
Okay. Well, you got Destiny coming out. And plus Richard Sherman's on Madden. Are you going to buy it this year?
I don't have a console.
Well, that's an easy decision then.
I would buy it if it was like on Steam.
Yeah, I think I actually have to get it just to get the Richard Sherman cover.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Yeah, I know. Anyway,
one of the regulars is all bummed out. He's like, the Madden curse.
Oh, come on.
Like, it's been broken. And he's like, still.
It has. Drew Brees broke it. And so did Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Don't ever talk about that Madden curse to me. That's my Richard Sherman impression. Anyway.
It was pretty good.
Thank you.
I thought that was a sound clip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a couple other games that I want to talk to you about. So I'm not going to talk to you about the big games. There's the Arkham City or the Arkham Knights. There's the of course Destiny coming out. The big titles. We all know that we all know what's happening with those. There's a couple smaller titles that I want to talk to you about. There's this new game that's going to be a PS4 exclusive, and it's called No Man's Sky. And it is a procedurally generated space exploration adventure, which the graphics just look awesome. I'm very, very excited for
what is this for?
This is for PS4. Mm. And I know that I was talking before that I would get a PS4, and then I was saying I would get a Steam machine. The jury is still out. But I think that Xbox One has taken the top spot just because of comfort zone level. Like, I've just always owned an Xbox.
I'm not gonna lie.
I've always owned an Xbox, and like, now it's the same price as a PS4, and I'm like, okay, I kind of want it now.
Aaron Paul seems to like it on those commercials.
Aaron Paul loves it. Yeah, he loves it as much as he loves Funyuns. Breaking Bad reference.
Okay.
So anyway, this looks like a really cool game. Another game, Jesse, and I wanted to end with this one because I know you got to be excited about it. And if you're not, I'm gonna punch you right up the side of the temple.
Oh, Jesus!
Through the podcast thing. This is let me get the name of this correct. I just because it's so cool. God, there's so much freaking Destiny stuff around E3. We get it. It's a big game. It's gonna be huge. This is Civilization Beyond Earth.
Oh yeah, I've seen the. I saw like a preview mm-hmm. of it a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know that I need. It's like
you need fine. More Civ.
It's like kind of like sci-fi, like future Civ, but mm-hmm. that's not why I play Civilization.
Oh, because
I play Civilization because it gives me a history boner.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
See, I play Civilization because I like to peacefully grow things. I hate going to war in Civ.
It can be super duperty satisfying, though.
Well, not really for me ever. So,
but you know, there's going to be just as much dicks and war on this After Earth thing.
So there's some interesting things that go along with this. So first of all, the tech tree is different. It's not a tech tree; it's a tech web. Yeah, and so. And I saw when I saw this, I got very, very excited because you basically can't go in a linear line here. You're not just waiting for somebody to get atomic bombs, basically.
Yeah.
You're going to have to spread out. And so, like, if you spread into one direction, you're literally 180 degrees from the other direction. It's not like, oh, I can just get these three things and now I'm back on that technology.
Yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. And there needs to be more. I don't get why, like, Civilization is structured the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
There are look at the history of Earth. There are civilizations that never discovered metallurgy.
Yeah,
until contact with other civilizations who did have it. It's like,
or like the Chinese had gunpowder like hundreds of years before the West
right.
did.
Now the civilization tech tree is kind of silly.
Yeah. So I love this tech web thing. And then the other thing that makes me really excited is the tech web. Not only are you spanning out, but each element of the tech web has like the main element and then like two other sub elements.
Mm-hmm.
So they're calling it trees and branches, I think.
Mm.
So like you, or branches and leaves or something.
Webs and spiders.
Yeah, there's spiders and then spider eggs. And then the spider eggs blow up and then a bunch of little spiders jump everywhere. It's disgusting.
My wife exploded a couple of spider eggs on her the other day.
Were they in the house?
No, they were on the porch, but she accidentally grazed it. It was like pff, baby spiders all
Jesus
over her arms.
Christ. Jesus, all of your arms?
Yeah, it got all over.
Oh my God, how did she not immediately die?
Well, they're baby spiders, so they won't learn to kill for like 6 hours.
But yeah, so this is like, okay, so you have like gunpowder, but then you also have fireworks. This is just an analogy. So like you could go sub trees as well for your research. It makes me really excited. The other thing is that when you go onto an alien planet, the aliens don't really want to necessarily attack you. They're not like barbarians, but they will attack if provoked, and they will take attacks of opportunity against weak units, but they will also attack, they will attack randomly. They will lash out. So if you are, say, in a war with another Civ, you can kind of manipulate the aliens to attack that other civilization as well, which is kind of cool.
Right. So they're like the city-states.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they are or they aren't. They're kind of like barbarian city-states, from what I understand. I'm excited about
this. I love how, like, our colonial... like, vestiges of our colonial past live on in sci-fi. Like, we're gonna go to a alien planet, and there'll be aliens there, duh. Mm-hmm. But they're gonna be pretty stupid, and we're gonna be able to kick their butts if we want to.
Well, there is the analogy that if there is other intelligent life in the universe that is more intelligent than us, then they would have already visited us by now.
Well, I watched a pretty convincing man named Dan Aykroyd.
Uh-huh.
Who, you know... has basically opened my eyes to the fact that they're living among us.
The lizard people are blinking sideways and we don't even fucking see it.
Mm-hmm. I do. I got my eyes open.
Sideways.
Uh-oh.
So anyway, that's the E3 news so far. All the news that's fit to print. Of course, like I said, there's the big stuff. Microsoft, they're making a Sonic movie. They're making a Ratchet and Clank movie. They're making... a Halo movie or TV series or something.
Steven Spielberg. I
think Ridley Scott is actually producing the Halo thing, which is kind of interesting.
And now I'm not interested.
Alien Baby?
Yeah, he got lucky with that one. Freaking Prometheus, garbage on ice.
He got lucky with one of my favorite movies of all time.
James Cameron did more with the franchise.
I know. Oh shit, I'm not even going to be able to talk about Edge of Tomorrow on this show. I just forgot that I saw that this weekend. Anyway, keep going. What were you saying?
Oh yeah. So, I don't know, should we just jump into my first topic?
Let's do it, baby.
It's more gaming news from E3. All so, right. Gaming.
Cool. I'm not going to play this song.
Okay, good. Yeah, we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
yeah, so this is the thing that I got really excited about and wanted to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Halo the Master Chief Edition.
Oh yeah, I forgot to even bring this up. Yeah, so this is the bullshit button here, Jesse. Are you excited about all these re-releases or not?
I couldn't be more excited.
But isn't this only for Xbox One?
I'm sure it's only for Xbox One.
Yeah.
And Wii U. Which is weird.
Surprising, but actually kind of understandable.
It was a weird collaboration. Microsoft owns the Mariners now.
Yep.
And Nintendo gets partial rights to Halo.
No, Jesse, Microsoft only owns the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Seahawks.
Oh, it would be absurd.
It would be absurd for them to own another sports team.
Yeah. So the optimized, this is coming from Polygon, optimized high definition compilation includes four games for the $60 price point.
Mm-hmm.
Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, Halo 3, Halo 4. The package will be all-inclusive, packing in every level, every multiplayer map, more than 100, every gameplay mode, every little bug or quirk they originally shipped. Everything will run at 1080p resolution and at 60 frames per second. Dedicated servers will power the collection's multiplayer component. I want to just plug into this and like a nostalgia bomb dropped on my very face and just like go through and play different playlists.
Yep.
From classic, especially like Halo 2, Halo 3, play them the way that they were meant to be played back then. Instead of like, you know, a new Halo comes out and they do like the remake of the map. And it's
right.
Like, okay, this is kind of cool, but it's like totally different.
Mm-hmm.
This would just be like an injection of nostalgia heroin right into my veins.
That's it, baby. I was wondering if you were excited about this or not, because they did the re-release of Combat Evolved for the 10th
right.
anniversary. And I don't know anybody who bought that.
I don't know either.
But this is basically that, but it's Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3, and Halo 4.
Yeah.
All the Halos. Although not Halo 3 ODST, interestingly enough.
No, or...
Or Halo Wars the RTS.
Reach. Or Halo Wars, yeah.
Oh, yeah, or Reach. Why not Reach?
Because it's all packed into one disc.
Oh, I get it, because it's a Master Chief collection. They only put the games where you play as Master Chief.
Funny.
That makes sense.
There you go. So the collection will even include a curated playlist called Mission Set List, which is actually what I'm really excited about.
Uh-huh.
The playlist might focus on epic battles from all four of the games or include every level that features a warthog. Ding, ding, ding. Sign me up, please. Yes, I do want to jump around between Halo 1, 2, 3, and 4, just jumping in that warthog.
Oh my god, yes.
Rolling around.
Just the warthog rail missions where you, like, gotta get out of the temple or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, for multiplayer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
just
shit.
Like, I'm going into the warthog under multiplayer. I think this is meant to be like the ultimate Halo multiplayer experience.
So you're excited about multiplayer. I'm excited about like the story missions.
It would be fun to go back to the story missions too.
Oh,
apparently,
yeah.
Like you can switch between like the new graphics and the old graphics with like the press of a button.
And then immediately realize that the old graphics are terrible.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to play GoldenEye 64?
Oh, that game. Oof.
Worst graphics of all time.
Oh, the way their faces wrap around.
My hand is literally three angles.
That's the crazy thing about technology, though.
Yeah.
Is that game blew our minds when we were kids.
Oh, yeah, totally. And, like, the temple level where the, you know, the doors slide up.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is unfucking playable. It is all just one sand-colored polygon. How the hell did I play? How was I able to place proximity grenades in that level?
I don't
have no
know,
idea.
But we did, and we loved every second
we
of
did.
It.
We did. We fucking odd jobbed the shit out of that.
Odd job was banned in my playing circle. It wasn't fair.
I was either odd job or Jaws. I was
he
going
was
tall.
Too small.
I was going the longer the short of it.
Man, yeah, but so that's what's coming out for this Master Chief Collection. Oh, God, I like
yeah.
This is what really makes me want an Xbox One. All the Halo.
Not to mention, Jesse, you didn't even notice the thing that goes with this is that if
what?
You buy the Master Chief Collection, you also get the beta to Halo 5.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't need a beta.
It's the multiplayer beta.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right, I'll do it. Oh, I also played as Boris. Man, they should put Boris from GoldenEye into Super Smash Brothers.
That they should. They should do like
or
some
like Oddjob at least.
Yeah,
or Pierce
Odd
Brosnan. Anyway.
Anyway, so that's all I got for gaming.
Well, I think we gamed the game out of this. So let's play a game. Trivial Pursuit. It's time for some trivia. We're playing Genus One, Trivial Pursuit. Each week we do this. We roll a six-sided die, see which category we will do. And I will do that right now. It's a five. Science and nature. Very, very exciting. I always love this category, Jesse. So.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Please play along at home. Jesse, this first question is for you. What's the only month that can have fewer than four moon phases?
It's got to be February, right?
It's got to be August. It's February.
It's got to be Ross. Wasn't that a thing?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
It was a thing for both Ross the TV show, I mean, both Ross the store and Friends.
Ross from Friends.
Yeah.
I hated Ross so much.
I know, he's the worst. I don't understand the people who are like, oh, Joey was the best. Chandler was the best, people.
Especially when he got all fat and strung out.
Yeah, totally, when he was like on the painkillers.
Yeah, it was on lewds.
Dude, the lewds were so big in the 90s. Do you know like the story of lewds?
I don't. Tell me the story of lewds.
Apparently, I learned all of this by listening to auxiliary interviews from The Wolf of Wall Street. Or about the Wolf of Wall Street, but apparently Quaaludes were like this crazy drug that you could get in the 90s, and then the FDA was like, okay, we literally cannot allow doctors to prescribe this anymore. So they stopped making them, and then they became a finite resource.
Oh, invest in lewds.
Yeah.
Build a time machine, go back to 1993, which
right.
was the last year it was still legal,
right.
get all the lewds you can get your grubby little hands on, and
yeah.
then cha-ching!
But yeah, apparently it's like a crazy like anti-anxiety / painkiller medication, and then it became a finite resource, and then you know you literally just cannot get them anymore. It's like a weird case of a drug that is no longer available. Like,
yeah,
you know.
Unlike, I guess, yeah. I'm having a hard time thinking of something.
Exactly. Like,
I was going to say, like, morphine, but nope.
Yeah, exactly.
Can get the hell out of some morphine.
Yeah, like, every drug is basically...
It's just straight opium.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically, like, straight, we give you this when your leg's been blown off so you can die in peace. That's what morphine is.
Eat this Quaalude.
Eat this loot. Yeah. But yeah, that's a crazy thing about it. It's like, yeah, it's a drug that you literally just cannot get anymore. Because pharmaceuticals can't produce it, and you can't produce it in a trailer with a WD-40 and Drano.
Poor Pfizer.
Exactly. Anyway. So back to the trivia. This question's for me.
A little trivia inside of trivia.
There you go. Which is more tender, the left or right leg of a chicken? tender to the touch or to the tooth? This is my question, but I'll say chickens are right, or I'm going to say they're left legged.
So that's more tender?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I was saying.
Yeah.
They would be right legged, so their left would be more tender.
Right.
But I'm going with right on this one, Eric.
Oh, it's the left. I got it.
Nice.
Yeah, that was reverse logic on my part. I'm happy that I did. Because, like, when I used to do high jump in high school, this is more trivia for you. Most people are opposite legged from their hand. So, like, in high jump, you have to pick your strong leg that you're going to jump off of. Most people, if you're right-handed, it's your left leg. And if you're if you're left-handed, it's your right leg. But I was... Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Because, like, every skateboarder is right-legged.
Yes. Because, well, you put your right leg in front.
No, you put your left leg in front.
Oh, well, but in high jump, it's the opposite. Except for Eric Wahlquist, who is right-handed and right-legged.
Yeah, because I'm right-handed and right-legged. Like, if I kick a soccer ball, I kick it with my right leg.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's like which leg you can jump higher off of. So you do, like, a jump test.
Oh,
it's
weird.
Because when you walk, you know, you actually walk harder on your left side if you're swinging your right hand, because you walk opposite from your hand.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's a weird...
Humans are weird.
Humans are weird animals. Back to science and nature, this question's for you. What's the claim to fame of Alexei Leonov?
Alexei Leonov?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say claim to fame is... First astronaut to die in space.
I'm going to go right-legged. Very close, Jesse. You took the first space walk. Basically, both of us together.
We each get a half point.
Yeah, each get a half point on that. We're still tied 1.5 to 1.5. And this question's for me for the tiebreaker. How many claws does a house cat have? I believe they do have thumbs. I'm going to go with 20.
I'll go 18. Trick question zero. They're all declawed because it's
the house 50s. Cat? Jesse, you were correct with 18.
All right. They don't have the dew claw on their back feet.
Really?
No.
God, animals are weird.
Unlike us totally normal ass humans. Not weird at all.
Not weird at all. All right. Well, I'm going to get to my second topic this week. You win the trivia, though. Congratulations. Second topic this week is going to be movies.
Do you know what nemesis means?
Okay, so, Jesse, big news this week. Brokeback Slash film regarding one of the greatest movie franchises of all time. I'm going to be reading this headline. It is, Mighty Ducks 4 might happen someday, eventually, maybe. So,
awesome.
It has been 18 years since the release of The Mighty Ducks 3, but in our sequel, Happy Age... You could get a sequel at any time. It could be a sequel about a toy. It could be a sequel about a TV show. It could be a sequel about a mid-90s franchise about hockey-playing children from Minnesota.
Okay. Eric, you're going to need to nerd to know me on the entire, all three of the Mighty Ducks movies.
Shit.
I haven't seen any of them.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I feel like I'm the only 90s kid who's never seen a Mighty Duck movie.
Okay, easy rundown here. D1, Minnesota, bunch of Minnesota kids led by Coach Gordon Bombay.
I thought the Mighty Ducks were in Anaheim.
They're from Minnesota.
Okay.
Okay. Bombay, Coach Bombay, is a lawyer who...
Is he, like, an Indian guy?
No. He's played by Emilio Estevez. He is, he has to do community service. I think he has, like, a DUI or something. So for his community service, he has
That's not the Minnesota I know.
He's a lawyer, and for his community service, he has to coach a hockey team for kids. And these kids suck at hockey. And he basically makes them awesome at hockey.
Did he represent himself?
I don't
know. The court?
Probably. Okay. He meets up with his old Scandinavian shop buddy who teaches him the pride of the game once more. He like blew out his knee. He played semi-pro hockey at one point, and he blew out his knee, so he's like disillusioned from the whole hockey scene. But anyway, he's got a cell phone and stuff. He basically gets his ragtag group of kids to play hockey correctly, and then they do.
Uh-huh. Is there like the fat kid from Hook?
The fat
one of these movies.
Yeah, he plays Goldberg, the goalie.
I might have seen, and he like puts the puck on its side and
No. That is Kenan Thompson in D2, sir.
Okay.
D2, Mighty Ducks 2, team from Minnesota, the Mighty Ducks, gets recruited to play in the Junior Goodwill Games in Los Angeles. So they get to represent Team USA. In order to do that, they have to take on four new kids. One of them is a puck handling wrangler from Texas. One of them is a lady who is a goalie, and Goldberg feels intimidated by her, but even though she is a better goalie than he is. Then there's a kid who's really fast. And he's from Los Angeles, but he can't stop. And then there's one other kid. Oh, there's a kid who's a figure skater who gets turned into a hockey player.
Played by Will Ferrell.
And then so they end up playing street hockey and rollerblades versus the Compton team. And then on that Compton team is Kenan Thompson, who has the knuckle puck, in which he turns the puck on the side, hits the puck, and it's like a knuckleball. It sails all over the place, and it goes in the goal. That's Kenan Thompson of Saturday Night Live fame.
And Kenan and Kel. I think you mean of all that fame.
And Kenan and Kel fame.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is, you were mistaken, sir.
Yeah, so there is the kid from Hook, too? The fat kid from Hook?
So is he... No.
Okay.
That's the kid who says, like, now I see you, Peter.
Yeah.
That kid is not in it. No. Both Kenan and Goldberg were in Heavyweights.
Oh,
which
geez,
was the
now
Fat
I'm
Camp
all
movie.
Confused. That was a staple VHS at my grandma's house, though. That one I have seen.
Dude, the roaring 90s, man. I mean, you could make a movie about a bunch of fat kids going to fat camp.
That movie was awesome. Ben Stiller was fantastic.
He was fantastic.
I actually kind of want to watch that again.
Dude, these movies do not hold up, by the way.
No, this will be one of our Kickstarter things.
Yeah.
It'll be bald movies. Watch Heavyweights with us. Wasn't it called Camp Butterball?
Oh, I don't know.
Or something like that.
I don't know. There was this is the thing is, I rented D2 a while ago when I was drunk to like get the nostalgia factor back, and I tried to watch it, and it does not hold up at all. The story is bullshit. Anyway.
Have you ever...
Oh, wait, there's also another kid.
Scenarios where, like, you invite... You're like, we're going to watch D2. It's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be awesome. You get, like, prepped for nostalgia, and then you're like, talking to your friend, and you're like, you need to come... You haven't seen it? You need to come over and watch it, too.
Yeah.
And then it's just a bomb.
It's a bad movie.
And you're like, I thought this was good.
There's also another kid who also gets recruited to the team. He is, like, the other Bash brother. And he's basically the exact same as the other dude, but now there's two of them. They can hit the puck really hard and punch people.
Cool.
D3, they go to college.
Oh!
Yeah, and they have to play against the varsity squad. But Banks gets put on the varsity. Banks is like the rich kid, and he's always like the adversary who's embedded in the team. And he gets put on the varsity squad, but then he like reverts back to the other squad, and they put on Mighty Ducks jerseys to play the JV versus varsity match, and they win. Spoiler alert. So anyway, that's your nerd to know on
Are any of them good except the first one?
None of them are ever good at all.
Oh.
In retrospect. But the nostalgia factor is strong with this one. Okay? That's what you have to... Like, they were great when I was seven. They don't hold up today. Like, most 90s things. These are roaring 90s movies, man. They're just going for it. This is, like, right up there with Cool Runnings. Like, just
but
keep...
But that would hold up today.
Would it?
I think it would. I mean, John Candy, living legend, except he's dead.
Let's take a. We could try Cool Runnings for the ball move extravaganza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think that these early 90s movies, they have strong nostalgia factor, but they do not really hold up from a story perspective. Anyway, but. This is interesting. So the guys who basically own the rights, they say they've been in talks with Disney for a number of years about a fourth Mighty Ducks movie. And he says, I'm not going to fuel the rumor mill that it's going to happen, but I am saying to you that the studio has said to us, we'd be interested if you come to us with the right story. So Jesse, I already floated this one to the people in the comment section of Slash Film, and I got 18 upvotes.
Oh.
So I need to float it to you, sir.
I'm such an expert.
You are. You got the bullshit button. You got your finger hovering over it at all times.
Uh-huh.
So here it is. Joshua Jackson, who plays Charlie, the main character in Mighty Ducks, and Kenan Thompson are fighter pilots in Afghanistan who have to teach a ragtag group of Afghan children how to play hockey. Mighty Ducks 4, Ducks Fly Together.
No, I like it.
I like it, too. It's like Million Dollar Arm meets... Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, he can have like the knuckle missile. Like that's his signature missile move as a pilot.
I think
he turns the missile sideways.
Oh,
and then
I like it.
Fires it.
Yeah, he turns the plane sideways and then shoots behind him. I just love the idea of like a Top Gun scenario where you have Kenan Thompson as like Goose.
I don't think they let people who are 300 pounds be fighter pilots.
He's just so good, man. They can't deny him. He's like that dude at the end of Independence Day. Or he's like Porkins.
Yeah, what happened to Porkins?
Exactly. I'm sorry. This is so mean.
The first time he encountered gravity, he crashed his plane.
God. Guys, we're sorry about the fat jokes. I apologize.
Hey, I'm not getting offended over this.
You aren't, actually. That's
I'm very open. I'm not very agreeable, and I'm not getting offended anymore.
You got a ton of poop jokes. I just love the idea of ducks fly, because like Ducks Fly Together is such a through line throughout all these movies. It is the theme. Is it Ducks Fly Together? You have the flying V formation. This plays directly into. Directly into fighter pilots. I would like it if they all started off as like they were just show pilots, so they're like the Blue Angels,
mm-hmm.
but they're like the Mighty Ducks, the show pilots, and and then they have to teach hockey to kids.
I like with all this like Vladimir Putin stuff going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're fighter pilots, and they get shot down behind Russian lines.
Yeah.
And they have to, and they get sent to a gulag, but they can win their way out of the gulag by playing ice hockey somehow.
See, I think that this has to be some kind of World War situation.
That's a munchetaceous situation right there, baby.
That is a munchetaceous situation. They get in some kind of scenario where we're at war with Iceland, because D2 is all about the battle between the USA and Iceland. So at this point, the missiles are real.
I don't know anything about these movies. It's making this hard for me.
It's great. I love that Iceland is the bad guys. No, but and then,
is it really?
Yeah, absolutely. Iceland are the bad guys in D2.
Mm.
And so, yeah. So Iceland are the bad guys. They're actually, it's just straight up a war movie now. And they're all fighter pilots. And it's versus Iceland's fighter pilots. But they're all the kids from the Mighty Ducks so that it's just all recurring characters. Perfect.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
I think I did. All right, Jesse, what's your second topo?
I want to talk about science.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Great Scott! Did you hear all this hubbub about the supposed supercomputer that passed the Turing test?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was this big deal online, like the first supercomputer ever to pass the Turing test.
What's a Turing test? I don't know what that is.
So the Turing test, here, I actually have the definition. Alan Turing in a 1951 paper proposed a test called the imitation game that is supposed to settle the issue of machine intelligence. The first version of the game, he explained, involved no computer intelligence whatsoever. So this is like the human version. Imagine that there are three rooms, each computed connected via computer screen and keyboard to the others. In one room sits a man, in a second a woman, and the third sits a person called the judge. The judge's job is to decide which of the two people talking through the computer is the man. The man will attempt, you know.
Okay.
Basically, a man and a woman trying to convince a judge that each of them is the man.
So why isn't this a real game?
I don't know. That would be great for Game Show Network.
It needs to be a real game. This sounds like an awesome game. Yeah.
Ooh, but it could be different things, too. It can't.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to just be a man and a woman.
Right.
It could be like an American citizen and a British citizen.
Right. Or like a plumber and a electrician. That's not interesting. How about a USA guy and an Icelander?
You're a plumber, not an electrician. I think that things flow through pipes, not wires.
Yeah.
But so then the Turing test is like you do the same thing, except you have a person and a computer, and if the judge can't tell which one is the computer, then the computer wins the Turing test. It's like 51% of the time. If like the judge is wrong in which one, you know, room A or room B, which one is the computer, 51% of the time, then the computer passes the test.
I guess this is a game show. I think it's called like, it was the one that Richard Nixon was on. There was a game show that was similar to this.
Okay, well, it needs to come back.
Anyway, yes, I understand where you're at now.
So they were saying that the test had been beaten by a supercomputer called Eugene Goostman during Turing Test 2014 held at the renowned Royal Society in London.
Well, you know, if you give your computers human names, they're going to start thinking they're humans.
So
gotta keep it as MX13942-7.
Mm-hmm. So, coming from this press release, it said that Eugene was a computer program that simulates a 13-year-old boy that was developed in St. Petersburg, Russia. The team includes Eugene's creator, Vladimir Veselov, who was born in Russia and now lives in the U.S., and a Ukrainian-born Eugene Domenchenko. Supercomputer had fooled the judges 33% of the time, and they claimed that if it was a 30% success rate, then it passed the test.
What?!
Right. But the thing is about this, so TechDirt.com did a thing about why this is all bogus.
Right.
And how there hasn't been a computer that's actually cracked the Turing test.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, part of it was that, like, they programmed it to be a 13-year-old boy from Russia, you know?
Okay.
So, like, that explains away all the grammatical errors and weird shit it says. And, like, if you ask it, like, what do you think about JFK? It'll be like, who is JFK? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
So, TechDirt say, like, strike number one, it's not a supercomputer. It's a chatbot, which is a script made to mimic human conversation.
Wrong.
So, it would be something different if you're talking to, like, Watson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, how is Watson not pass the Turing test?
I don't know, because I guess it just can't articulate like human conversation. That's the thing, is like human conversation is so nuanced that like something that's not just like a computer program that's meant designed to like pass this test in a deceitful way.
Yeah.
You know, it should be like organically created instead of just like some sort of way to cheat the test. And, I guess in the past there have been other, like, chatbots. Do you remember Cleverbot, which was going around for a while?
No.
I think it's still on there. It's another chatbot, and you, like, talk to it, and it talks back to you.
Just convince yourself you have friends.
Yeah. And so there are, like, claims that had passed, like, 59% of the judges back in the past, and it turned out to be kind of, like, a bogus thing, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they cheated the rules, and the rules of the Turing test itself always seem to change during these press releases and stuff. And like, it hasn't been peer reviewed and stuff. So yeah. Like, the point of this Tech Dirt article is like, no, we don't have supercomputers yet. And like the Turing test is kind of a weird thing.
Yeah, any test that is a legacy test that was created decades ago does not. You know,
right.
It's like, we could probably figure out something a little more recent.
It was a hypothetical situation posed by a guy in 1951.
Yeah.
He was just going to be like, this would be a neat idea.
All right, let's run with... Wait.
Okay, it's the gold standard for all of our technology from this moment forward.
Whoa. I was just literally having a drink and saying something.
What would you like to consider... So this is like... The Turing test is supposed to be the test for machine intelligence.
Mm.
What do you think would be, like, machine intelligence?
I think that you could have a machine that will lie to you.
Yeah.
I feel like that is, like, they call it the original sin or whatever, is the lie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of something that differentiates humans from every other creature, is that we lie by using words.
Yeah.
To input a different idea into someone's head. Because for our own self-preservation, but yeah. Not even self-preservation from a survival level, just most of the time from self-preservation of an inconvenience level.
Yeah, some sort of weird social level.
Yeah, there, so if like you're mildly inconvenienced, you lie. I feel like that would be a great test for a robot.
The mild lie test.
And the problem is most robots are never inconvenienced.
Right, until they have to decide which motorcyclist to hit.
I didn't see that guy. He came out of nowhere. Sorry.
He wasn't wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
It's on him.
I don't know, man. I do feel like, you know, you can have all of the recall intelligence in the world. You can have the greatest memory of all time, but if you don't have any emotional intelligence, then I feel like you are lacking what's needed for human interaction.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, intelligence would be like, can we put you in like a logic puzzle that you're going to be able to figure out, and you don't just have the answer downloaded into your mainframe, right?
Yeah, or you have limitations. It's weird because I think that intelligence comes with limitations. You know, it's like we play a lot of board games. If you're looking at a strategic board game, we're all looking at it differently and devising different scenarios that we think is the best path. But there is a best path.
Right.
That will inevitably, just through turn order, one of us has a distinct advantage toward that path over everyone else. And if
right.
we could compute that path, then games wouldn't be fun. The thing that makes games fun is that you decide on a strategy and you pursue it, even if there is only folly at the end of it, because you think it's the best one at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's human intelligence. It's not about being the most supreme being. It's about being able to interact with your environment and make a decision and go with it, even if it's wrong. I think that maybe that's the disconnect between humans and machines, is that we'll go with something even if it's inevitably wrong.
Yeah, but then you can also kind of look at like the machines I work with and my work, and sometimes they make the decision, let's just keep going even though this is going to be a disaster. I well, know there's not enough air pressure for me to properly index these bottles, but I'm going to bring the fill head down anyway. Oh, everything's broken.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe if a bunch of computers could play poker against each other without... See, it's so tough because, like, if you want to be a good poker player, you just kind of... You're able to figure out, like, not necessarily down to the number itself, but you're able to figure out, like, what percentage you have of winning a hand.
Right. So, like, this is what I'm saying. Like, you got to be able to figure out the logic puzzle as it changes. So, like,
yeah.
Get, like, the computers that are good at playing poker, get uh-huh. the dudes that are good at playing poker, and then take out, like, all the kings, take out, like, all the jacks and the sevens, and add an 11, and, like, change the rules so that you have to adapt to the new rules, and you can't just follow a pre-programmed algorithm.
I like it.
And that's what intelligence is being able to adapt to the changing circumstance.
I like it. And maybe you're wrong, but you're making but you're making your best guess,
right?
At the right way to do something.
You're figuring it out as things change.
Yeah,
there's no intelligence in being like, I know the percentages, and I'm just gonna stick to these percentages because, in you know, in this algorithm, it provides the highest chance of success. It's like, now I've been introduced to a new situation, and I have to figure out how to adapt to it.
Yeah,
and I have to do that on the fly.
Well, like I've been playing the Duels of the Planeswalkers on my phone lately, and it's so easy to predict what the computer's going to do.
Right,
like it won't attack if it knows that you have a creature that can kill it. Even if like if it attacks, I wouldn't block it because I would rather take that damage than lose that blocker as an attacker. Like,
right,
it's
right.
A pretty You're simple like, concept for Magic players.
The computer's overvaluing your creature.
Like, say I have, like, six creatures down, and it has two, and it attacks me with one for three damage, and I have 18 life. I'm going to let that go through. I'm not going to block that guy because I'd rather keep my attackers for the next round, especially if you're attacking. But it won't attack. You know, or whatever. There's a lot of scenarios where it becomes a predictable... of scenario for the computer.
Right. And true intelligence will come when it's able to figure out, like, oh, he's doing this, so I'm going to adapt my behavior
right.
to do this to counter that.
Yep.
And that's when we're all screwed.
That's when
the self-driving car is like, take us off the cliff for the greater good.
There's just a horn in the car when something catastrophic happens, and it just beeps, for the greater good. And that's the last thing you hear before you die.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's our automated future.
I'm fine with it making that decision.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be like, well, I guess you're right. I mean,
yeah, computers know what's best.
You got it. I do have an idea for Dennis Kleinbeck.
Oh.
For the wager here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if America wins, and I'm going to say if America finishes higher in the group, okay? So the way that World Cup plays works is that there are a bunch of groups. Each group consists of four teams. The two best teams from that group progress on to the next round, okay? So I'm not doing a head-to-head match between America and Germany. I'm going to say if America finishes higher in the group than Germany, then... we, or at least I, will review a German movie of Dennis's choice, and it has to be a movie that is at least mostly in the German language, so I'll have to watch it with subtitles, and I've probably never seen it, right? But then if we win, then we have to pick a movie for Dennis to watch to review.
Okay.
And it has to be an American movie produced in America. And I know it's going to be hard to find a movie that is produced in America, but we will find a way.
I think they're doing like a Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Finally.
Definitely. Oh, it might be Ninja Turtles 3.
D4.
So that's the wager, Dennis. If we finish higher in the group, then you can pick a movie for us. If you finish higher in the group, or whatever. You got it.
I haven't been forced to watch a German movie since I took all those modern European history classes.
So this is like old hat for you.
It kind of is.
I can't wait
to be- I won't have to be going to the school library and like reserving the little cubicle with like the tube TV and the VCR.
Yeah.
And watching some depressing movie about World War II.
So, just to let you know, German movies that I've watched, Run Lola Run, seen that one. I've seen The Counterfeiters. And I think those are probably the only two where I've... You've seen Das Boot, right?
Yeah.
So it can't be Das Boot. Give me a German movie that I've never heard of, Dennis. Because you're probably going to win. All right, let's move on to the Facebook roundup. But before we do, talk about baldmove.com. Guys, so much stuff going on at Bald Move. You got Game of Thrones. You got Fargo. You got the 24 podcast. You got the Because Show. You got Up Yours Downstairs. You got a bunch of bonus content. You've got the 200th episode of... the 200th episode extravaganza D&D night is up on baldmove.com. You can go there and check that out, and we are there as well, so do that. And please get in touch with us, personalarrogance@gmail.com, 360-362-0024 for the voicemail line, at Personal Podcast on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at the Bald Move Facebook page, the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. You please rate and review us on iTunes. We've been getting some great rate and reviews. We will cover those very soon. We always appreciate it, so please do that on iTunes because it boosts us up. And if you can't do any of that, please tell a friend. Personal arrogance, guys. We are a nation. Let's indoctrinate. That sounds bad.
I like it.
Let's indoctrinate people in the personal
arrogance. It's assertive. It's disagreeable, but open and stern.
From what I know, if you make one phone call to personal arrogance, you are hooked for life. So give people our phone number. Write it on bathroom walls if you must.
Oh.
Okay, don't do that. Give it to your... picture frame shops.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Adeline, seriously.
Let's get on to the Facebook roundup. Each week we post on Facebook that we're recording. We ask you what you'd like us to talk about, and we talk about it. And this week we're going to start it off with a... it's loading here. Matt says, I'm no D&D player... But I'm looking forward to hearing the 200th episode. How do you plan on making this enjoyable to your audience? As a fan of the show of Community, I found their D&D episode really entertaining, and I'm curious how you, if you will take any tips from that also, so all of us non-D&D folks can still enjoy it. Actually, I think we're not going to make that our 200th episode of the Personal Arrogance podcast, but what it is it's up on baldmove.com. So it's more of a celebration of the 200th episode as opposed to being the 200th episode.
There you go.
So you can go to baldmove.com and you can watch the whole 2 hours and 22 minutes featuring me, Jesse, Levi, Aaron, and Jim all playing Dungeons & Dragons for 2 hours and 20 minutes. So that's where it's at, guys. Go there and do it. Rob says, have you or would you ever eat horse, Jesse?
I would. I haven't.
I think I would too, man. I think I'm really pretty much down for eating any meat.
Especially human flesh.
If it's artificial, we've gone through this before, the artificial meat machine, if it can make human flesh, I think I'd try it. I'm not going to eat a real human's flesh, but artificial human flesh, I might give it a shot.
It's not human flesh, it's human fresh.
That's the name of the fast food joint for people who have the hunger.
Human fresh.
Rob Zip says, also, when can I have one or both of you on my crappy podcast? Rob, if you drop me a line, I will do it. So
yeah, I would do your podcast. That'd be fun.
Let us know, dude. Just are you friends with Rob on Facebook?
Yeah.
We should always do this personal stuff on... It is personal arrogance. But yeah, just let us know. We'll be on it. We just got to schedule it out. We will do it. Oh, shit. I lost it. Oh, here it is. John says... John Taffer versus Gordon Ramsay versus Robert Irvine in an Anchorman-style battle to the death. Who wins, and how does the battle go?
So I wasn't familiar with John Irvine. Do you know this guy?
I know Irvine because he's on Kitchen Impossible.
Okay.
He's like a super. I think he used to be like a special agent in the British military or something.
Well, I looked him up, and he's jacked.
Yeah, he would win for sure.
Well, but, I mean, maybe he's going to be overconfident. I'm giving this one to Gordon Ramsay. Gordon's Scottish. The Scottish are naturally hardier than the British with their frail bones and everything. So, I think Gordon ends up winning.
I think Gordon says two words to Irvine and gets punched in the mouth and is out.
No, but Gordon's got those knife skills, man. John Taffer would just like try and bull rush John Irvine because, you know, he would go for the bigger target. Then Gordon capitalizes on that chaos.
Oh, dude. John Taffer's Bar Rescue.
Yeah.
Is he British as well?
No, he's American.
I'm sorry, I don't watch Bar Rescue.
He's a hero.
he's a true American hero, goddammit.
Don't ever accuse my heroes of being British again.
Well, I say Irvine. Jesse says, Ramsey, let us know who you think wins, listener. Matthew says, I'm currently on a family vacation and I'd like to try some local beers whenever I travel. I was wondering what your technique is when choosing between numerous unknown beers at a new place. Personally, I pick by whatever has the coolest tap knob, but that's pretty hit and miss. I just say go with the style you like.
Yeah, I go by style.
Yeah, like if you like red ales, try the red ale. Try whatever sounds good. Don't go with tap handles. That's a bad idea.
Go for the Dunkel.
Go for the Dunkelweizen, for Christ's sakes. I heard this was a lager. Josh says, I like where Rob is going here. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Me got to be deer heart sautéed with A1. That's not that weird. Anything weird?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've eaten like kind of a lot of kangaroo.
Yeah.
I feel like I've eaten weirder stuff, but I can't really...
Yeah, I've had ostrich.
Yeah, I've had escargot, which is pretty weird.
I've had escargot too, but I really liked it.
Dude, escargot was delicious.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
It's like really yummy.
Buttery, garlicky morsels of chewy flesh meat.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yes, please.
And like, yeah, I love seafood too, so I'll basically eat any mollusk. I don't know. I literally just want to try every meat. I want alligator, man. I have never tried it. I want to eat it.
I don't feel like it'd be very good.
I love reptiles. I've had, I guess it's an amphibian, but I've definitely eaten frog. It's delicious.
I don't think I've had frog.
Oh, frog's so good.
I would try it.
Yeah, frog's good. I want a rattlesnake.
Caviar's kind of weird to eat.
Oh, caviar's fucking amazingly delicious to me.
Yeah,
I had some friends who smuggled in some caviar from Iran, and I kind of ate it all.
What?
Because it was really good.
Why did they have to smuggle it in from Iran?
Because you can't get real caviar. You can't get beluga caviar in America.
Oh, it's whale caviar.
Yeah, they had to. It's not made from whales. It's like a fish. Still, I'm pretty sure.
Why is it called beluga caviar then?
I don't know. Let me look it up. But
it would be weird since whales are mammals that they would have
like tiny black eggs.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
No, but they like had a book that had a little pouch in it that they smuggle caviar in because they're Iranian. They like go there.
How does Iran have access to so much caviar?
Because they have oil money. Any country other than America has beluga caviar. It's made from the beluga sturgeon.
Oh.
It's primarily found in the Caspian Sea, which is bordered by Iran. So that's your answer.
Why can't you eat it? It's a sturgeon.
I don't know. Its market price is from $7,000 to $10,000 per kilogram.
Wow.
It's $3,000 to $4,500 per pound.
That's what I'm going to start making in my meat machine.
God, it was so good, man. No wonder. No wonder I ate it all. Now I feel bad. Now I feel even worse. Okay, anyway.
You ate an entire kilogram of it.
I literally ate like $10,000 worth of caviar, and it was delicious. What else we got? Jade says, Irvine is jacked. He could still stab the others with his nipple daggers poking through his extra form-fitting shirts. I like that I've seen this show, and you've seen Bar Rescue, and I haven't. And we've both seen Gordon Ramsay, so we're meeting in the middle there.
Yeah.
Also, he's
an intersection on our Venn diagram.
Yeah, also he gave us a link to how bioelectricity could let us regrow lost limbs, which is a crazy article from Slate.com about how in the future we'll just Wolverine this shit. It's pretty cool stuff. And then finally, Mitch Netzer says, cold pizza, SMH.
What does that mean?
Shit my head?
I think it's shit my head.
I think it's shit my... I mean, fuck my... It's FML's fuck my life. So it's got to be shit my head, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's this... That's not really... That's not an expression. All right, Jesse, what's your first reco?
Oh, I just got one this week. It's rosavinapottery.etsy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, rosavinapottery.etsy.com. Mm-hmm. We'll take you to the shop. It's R-O-S-E-A-V-E-N-A pottery.etsy.com. Takes you to my wife's pottery shop online, and there's all sorts of cool new stuff up. She's been busy.
Let's do it. Let's hit it up, friends. Let's do it. And then secondly, I have two recos this week. First one, Edge of Tomorrow. I went and saw it this weekend. It's so good.
What is that movie?
Tom Cruise.
Was that good? That looked like garbage on the previews.
No, it's a good movie, dude. It's about this guy.
Is it some like Scientology thing?
No.
Huh.
It's based on a Japanese novel called All You Need Is Kill. And
right.
It's about a guy who... The thing that's great about it is that it cuts Tom Cruise down to size in the first 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
He's basically like this unlikable asshole, and then he's chopped at the knees within the first 10 minutes. Not literally, but figuratively.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. He has like a robot suit thing, and life's like a video game. He has like infinity lives or something.
Yeah, he has... It's actually a lot... I feel like it's a little bit of a commentary on video game play, because every time you die, you get a little bit better the next time you go into battle.
Right, yeah, definitely.
So, anyway, I really, really liked it. Edge of Tomorrow. And my second recommendation, oh my god, guys, True Detective is the greatest show I've ever seen in my life. I seriously think that True Detective might be my favorite show ever. I still have two episodes to watch.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
It embodies, like, I feel like, and this is for the bald movers, so you have Breaking Bad, which is, you know, it's my favorite show of all time, but although True Detective, I think, is going to take it after I watch the last two episodes. But you have Breaking Bad. You go a little bit goofier with Breaking Bad and you get Fargo, the TV series. If you take Breaking Bad and you take all of the humor out of it and only have the dread and the darkness, that is True Detective. And it embodies dread in a way that I've never seen a TV show embody dread.
What about Judge Dredd?
No, not even close.
Oh.
And that was a movie, sir. But yeah, dude, True Detective. Jesse, I know you would love it.
Like, yeah, I gotta figure out a way to watch these things.
Well, I don't know. I have an HBO Go password, so maybe I might be able to hook you up here. That would
be immoral.
That would be immoral. But the other thing about it here, Jesse, like, I feel like there are some Lovecraftian ties to it, because the King in Yellow plays into the series.
Wait, but, like, they call him the King in Yellow?
They call him the King in Yellow, yes.
Wow.
It's straight up King in Yellow reference, hardcore, throughout the entire thing. But it also embodies kind of that, you know, I've been listening to a lot of Lovecraft books on tape getting ready for the pub crawl, and it embodies that Lovecraftian dread that flows through all of his stories of just like something evil this way comes and there's nothing you're going to do about it. And that's what True Detective is. It follows that whole thing. It's so enthralling and hypnotizing. I can't recommend the show enough. If you haven't watched it, and you're more of a goober than me because you've waited this long, please, guys, check out True Detective, because it's so fucking good.
I really want to see it.
So good. All right, Jesse, that's the show. Thanks for checking in.
I'm just checking in.
And until next time, guys, remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please... Stay
arrogant. The
boop, 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 boop.